for those that don't follow me on social media or you weren't here on Wednesday nights, I just want to kind of let you know where I've been the last few weeks. I've been in the country of Brazil. Now, we have over 100 schools, Rhema Bible training centers in the country of Brazil. And of those 100 schools, we have 70 different graduations because some of the schools come together to make for graduations. So I had the privilege to go to 4 different cities and do 4 different graduations. And every graduation I did was bigger than our graduation here in Rhema, USA. So just to kind of give you, thing. And if you saw me on social media, it's incredible to see what God's doing in the country of Brazil. I mean, it's just amazing, it's also awesome to see they get more excited on their graduations than we do. In fact, at the end of their graduation, it's basically a big party. Everyone's just running around, shouting, dancing. They take their stole off and they're twirling their stole and doing all kinds of stuff. Obviously our graduation is more dignified, I guess, too, but thanks to mom, they like to have a good time. And in fact, one of the graduations that I did, it finished and, they were having a really good time. So all the teachers and myself, we were all in the back eating, and I think it went on for another 30 minutes. They're still out there playing music and jumping around, shouting around, but I guess they're excited about graduating. Amen. So, but it's awesome to see what God is doing around the world, and the impact of the ministry. And you think back and you think about, my grandfather, the Lord gave him the mandate to go teach my people faith. And for many years, he wondered, I'm just one man. How am I going to reach the entire world? And the Lord told him to put everything in book form and audio form. And he did that. But he says, still I'm just one man. And the Lord gave him the direction to start a Bible school. And he thought if we can just train 50 students a year, we could do something about reaching the world. And to see the hundreds of thousands of graduates, graduating all around the world, it's just pretty awesome, just to see what God is doing. And, actually at one of the graduations, before we even graduated, they sang, "Look what the Lord has done," and just thinking, "Look what the Lord has done." It's just so awesome to be able to be a part. I also preached in 3 different churches, did 3 laying on of hand services. And so I was gone for 2 weeks and had 1 day off in the whole 2 week period. I was either traveling or I was speaking. So, I didn't have any time to go to the beach, even though it's summertime there. I did take a picture at the beach, but that's all I got. All right. But there is nothing better than to see Christmas lights in 85 degree weather wearing shorts and flip flops. I mean, that has to be God. But I guess we're going to have clothes. It's going to be 77 on Christmas. So, you can come out and enjoy the Christmas lights like the other thousands of people have been doing. We've been setting world records this year at the Christmas lights. And, if you haven't, I know sometimes, we're here on campus. We don't actually walk through see the Christmas lights, but you got to do that. It's pretty awesome to see that. Speaking of Christmas lights, how many of you during the Christmas season listen to Christmas music? I have Sirius XM radio, and there's a station called Holly. And I was just thinking about, speaking of Christmas music, Rhema Singers and Band have their own Christmas album called The Reason for It All. It's out there. In fact, the Ultimate Collection has everything, including the Christmas album that we produce. In fact, their song, The Reason for It All, we wrote that for Christmas. But, Christmas songs have, it's just really kind of crazy. All going from spiritual to insane, and sometimes even on one album, all right? I mean, we have, from the spiritual side, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, A Little Town of Bethlehem, Away in the Manger, and Dad's favorite, Silent Night. And then we go to the almost sad, like I'll Have a Blue Christmas Without You, to I'll Be Home for Christmas Only in My Dreams. And then you go to the like Leather Outside Is Delightful, and Walking in a Winter Wonderland, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Then you have the fun songs, Jingle Bells and what's a Little Drummer Boy, which I really have no clue why a drummer boy is just playing a rum-pum-pum, but that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, then dad's over here saying, which, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And of course, the most insane, that's Pastor Rob's favorite, Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. I know Pastor Rob says he plays that like on... Well, so dad's throwing out the Santa Claus one. So I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. And for you Spanish people, Feliz Navidad, all right? You know, and if you happen to be from Brazil, it's Feliz Natal, all right? And so, you know, it's funny because someone asked me about something about Christmas. So Natal is Christmas in Portuguese. In Brazil, they speak Portuguese, by the way, not Spanish. And then Santa Claus is Papai Noel, all right? So, you know, because someone asked me other day, I had a few extra hours, said, hey, you want to go to the mall with me? I said, yeah, I want to go sit on Papai Noel's lap and tell him what I want for Christmas. But anyway, before you guys Google it, because I know someone's going to want to Google it in the middle of my song, because we're talking about Christmas carols. These are the top four Christmas songs. You know, the number one Christmas song of all time right now is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, and then Bing Crosby's White Christmas, and Brenda Lee's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And the number four song is Silent Night. But anyway, the song I want to talk about, you know, probably my favorite Christmas carol, is Joy to the World. All right, you know, it's Christmas season, and we sing the song that's been sung for generations, Joy to the World. You know, we sing it so often, sometimes we forget how powerful that song really is. You know, when we sing Joy to the World, the Lord is come, we are not singing nostalgia. We are not singing, you know, Christmas tradition or funny things about Christmas. We're declaring the arrival of heaven into the earth. You know, Christmas answers one of the most important questions humanity has ever asked. Why did Jesus come? Because when Jesus came, he didn't come empty-handed. He came to bring something with him. And what he brought is exactly what the world still needs today. Jesus came to bring joy. You know, we read in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11, although I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. So the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the scripture says they were greatly afraid. But the first words out of heaven's mouth were not words of judgment, they were words of reassurance. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." Then he said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Church, notice that heaven didn't announce rules. Heaven announced joy. The angel didn't say mild happiness. He didn't say temporary cheer. He says great joy. Now, I want to ask you, have you lost the joy that Jesus came for? Sometimes during Christmas season, you know, Jesus came to bring us joy, but it's not always joyful. But, you know, joy is not based upon circumstances. You know, circumstances are not always the best. But joy is based on a Savior. You know, you can have joy even when things aren't perfect, even when the money is tight, even when you've lost someone you love. Because joy is actually a person, and his name is Jesus. And he lives on the inside of you. You know, for the angel explained the reason for the joy, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Joy didn't come because the world changed. Joy didn't come because the economy improved. Joy came because a Savior arrived. And that same joy is still available today. Joy for the hurting, joy for the grieving, and joy for the weary and worn down. You know, Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not surface level happiness, it's supernatural joy. You know, we sing a song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." No matter what the circumstances are in your life, nothing can take away your joy. You should choose to have joy. See, that you know, sometimes we might not necessarily have happiness, and not always, you know, it's not always a happy time, but we can have joy on the inside. We can, you know, but also too, Jesus didn't come just to bring us joy. He also came to bring peace. You know, Luke 2:13 and 14, it says, after the angel finished speaking, Luke tells us that suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts appeared praising God. Now think about this for a moment. Here you are, you're minding your own business, watching your sheep. And all of a sudden, lo, an angel came down, you know, because it says, lo, the angel of the Lord, you know. You know, and obviously, just a note to self. If an angel ever appears to you, you're going to be afraid, because everybody else was. Read in the Bible. The first thing out of an angel's mouth, if you ever, you know, ask a trivia question, what's the first thing an angel tells a human? Don't be afraid. All right? But then all of a sudden, after there's one angel, there's a heavenly host just singing. That'd be kind of crazy. You realize, you know how quiet it is out in the fields. Like, I mean, you know, all you hear is crickets chirping or whatever, and all of a sudden here's an angel, you know, a heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. You know, Jesus didn't come to remove all of our problems. He came to bring peace in the middle of all of them. You know, obviously we would like to all our problems be removed, but you know what? We can have the peace in the middle of the storm, and we can have peace knowing that our problems will go away. They're only temporal. That Jesus came to provide peace for us. Peace didn't come because everything suddenly became perfect. Peace came because the Prince of Peace stepped into this world. Isaiah 9:6 calls him the Prince of Peace. And Jesus later told his disciples in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, sometimes the only time that we read that scripture is when somebody dies. You know, we talk about peace. But, you know, Jesus came so that we could have peace at all times. Even when the world's going crazy, you can have peace. Why can you have peace? Because peace is on the inside. You know, we talk about that we have Jesus on the inside of us, but sometimes we don't act like it. Do we have joy? Do we have peace? Because see, normally the way we act is based upon our circumstances, based upon what's going on around about us. The way we act should be based upon who's on the inside of us. See, it's not about who you are. It's not about your circumstances. It's about who you are in Christ Jesus. It's about knowing and being satisfied on the inside that no matter what comes, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And, I mean, I've thought about this one time. You know what worst case scenario is? You die and go to heaven and walk on streets of gold. That's worst case scenario for your life. I mean, worst case scenario, you know, and Paul even talked about, you know, should I live or should I die? Because to die would be far better. That's I don't want to kill myself right now, but if worst case scenario, everything's going to be okay. And one day we're going to walk on streets of gold. So you know what? It's all going to be okay. And when our loved one dies, you know, sometimes, I know it's sad because we do miss them, but they're having a good old time. All right? I mean, they're having a better time than the Jeffersons did when they moved on up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. And some of you younger people are like, who were the Jeffersons and what is it? Google that. You'll find out. All right? It's a show that a lot of people our age used to watch. And, you know, they were talking about moving on up, but whenever you move on up to heaven, it's better than a deluxe apartment in the sky in Chicago. All right? But, you know, and then too, sometimes, you know, we watch our loved ones suffer and they're not suffering anymore. And we can have peace in the middle of our storm. You know, Christmas peace is not always the absence of, it's not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Christ. Peace for troubled hearts, peace for anxious minds, peace for families under pressure. You know, you can have peace when life is loud, when answers are delayed, and when pressure is real. Because peace is not a feeling. Once again, peace is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus also came to bring salvation. Before he was even born, an angel once again appeared to Joseph with an explanation of heaven's plan. Matthew 1:21 tells us an angel said that Mary would bring forth a son, and his name would be called Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. You know, that's the foundation of Christmas. He didn't come just to inspire us. He didn't come just to improve us. He came to save us. And Christmas is not about a better behavior. It's about a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Luke 19:10 tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the heart of Christmas. He came to rescue us from sin, from separation, and from eternal death. You know, when Jesus came to this world, and you know, the two biggest celebrations that we celebrate as a Christian church is Jesus coming. And here's the thing, I just want to let you know, Jesus probably didn't come on December the 25th, all right? So just because some people said, well, Jesus actually came on September the 21st. I don't care when he came. Does it really matter? The point is, he came. He came. All right? We choose to celebrate it. Because I know some people that, oh, I'm not going to celebrate Christmas because Jesus didn't even, he wasn't even born on December the 25th. But it's a day that we pick to honor Jesus and his coming. It's just like, you know, not all soldiers died on Memorial Day. But we pick Memorial Day, right? So it's just a day we picked. And here's the deal. If you don't like your birthday, you can celebrate your birthday on any day of the year. And if you happen to be born on February the 29th, you probably do celebrate your birthday on a different day of the year. Because either that or you have a birthday every 4 years. So basically, you're almost like a dog years. You know, you, instead of 28, you're actually four times that. But, you know, interesting part about it is Mama Jan's and her and Pastor Bud, you know, are started in Raymond, Brazil. Her birthday is February the 29th. And so I actually asked her, well, what do you do? She goes, well, I celebrate it March the 1st. But you weren't born on March 1st. You were born February 29th. And you're like, just... Here's the thing. Sometimes your parents weren't very good planners. And I've even told people this because my stepdaughter, she was born on December the 23rd. So she feels she gets cheated because we're celebrating our Christmas on December the 23rd. She's like, well, don't I get extra presents? I even told her, I told her a long time ago, why don't we move your birthday to like June? You're like, well, I can't do that. Well, why can't you? Just a day we celebrate your birthday. See, my parents were excellent planners. Maybe not because camp meeting started, but that was a whole other issue. But my birthday happens to be July the 22nd. All right. Which is, you know, roughly 6 or actually maybe 7 months from December the 25th, which was pretty awesome. Because, you know, if there was something that I really, really wanted and couldn't afford, I only had to wait a few more months. And I had birthday or had Christmas. Unfortunately, other people, you know, they had to wait like 10 months before the next, you know, holiday where you get free stuff. So, you know, so actually I had, you know, you have to understand, I was very frugal. I didn't, you know, my parents figured out a long time ago, you can spank me all you want, I don't care. You take away my money, that's bad. You can ask them, you know, take away my, you know, you don't take away my money. That's a bad thing. And so because I didn't want to spend my own money, you know, let's just say, you know, in March, I'm like, man, I really want this. I said, well, I guess I got to wait till July. I mean, I waited out. And then if I still want it in July, I would get it in July or whatever. So maybe you should think about that when you're planning your family, just to note to self. And if your birthday happens to be a close to a holiday, that, you know, just move your birthday. Or you can just celebrate your half birthday, you know, if you want to as well. Which, by the way, my half birthday is coming up on January the 22nd for those who want to give me a half of a birthday present. So anyway, actually, there is one gentleman that every year, I said that one time, so every year on my half birthday, he sends me a Cash App offering. It says, happy half birthday. So pretty awesome. You can all follow the same if you want to. Oh, speaking of that, because Dad did not mention this, but they took the pastoral staff, you know, all out, and they blessed us from the church, or you guys blessed us from the church. So just to let you know, so I don't want you to think, well, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, you know, they got blessed, but the rest of the pastoral staff, they kind of got stiffed. No, we didn't get stiffed, all right? So, but if you want to bless us more, you're more than welcome to as well. And I'm just joking, folks. I really, you know. Anyway, so, you know, Jesus came to save us. He came that we can have joy, you know. But he also came to reveal the love of God. You know, the song says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness and wonders of his love. We've all sung the song, but you know what? I mean, there is no greater love than Jesus, to lay down one's life for us. And that's why we celebrate Easter. And I don't know if he died, you know, and whenever Easter is either, but that's the day we choose to celebrate it. Because you know what? If he was just born and he never died on the cross, there would be nothing to celebrate. You know, and that's why we celebrate his coming and we celebrate his passing, but we celebrate he's still alive today. You know, because a grave could not hold him. Amen. But, you know, the manger is the greatest sermon on love the world has ever seen. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the visible expression of invisible love. I mean, Jesus came because he loved us. Or God sent him because he loved us. And then the biggest expression of Jesus' love toward us is when he hung on the cross. And as those people mocking him, he says, you know, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. You know, that's just the ultimate love, to forgive somebody even when you're being sacrificed. But you know, and he was sacrificed as a man. I mean, a lot of us, you know, think, well, you know, he didn't feel the pain. Yes, he felt the pain. In fact, you know, just like any of us, whenever he was praying before he was crucified, he says, God, if we can do this another way, can we try that? But there is no other way. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the light. And so it's hard for me to actually celebrate Jesus' coming without thinking about, you know, Easter, because Easter is not about a bunny and a bunch of eggs. It's about Jesus dying. You know, and so many times we say, don't forget the reason for the season, but are we having good tidings of great joy and peace during our holiday season? Because if you're not, you forgot the reason for the season. You know, but something else, like I said, is God showed forth our love. And, you know, during the Christmas season, we need to show forth our love toward people, knowing some people are probably having a tough time. You know, Christmas proves something, first of all, that God loves the world, that God loves people, and that God loves you. The manger is proof that God didn't stay distant, God didn't stay silent, God stepped into humanity, and that's the wonders of his love. You know, if you ever doubt God's love, look at the manger. If you ever question God's heart, look at Jesus. Jesus said that, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And, you know, obviously Jesus went around the world whenever he was here loving people. He loved people that were probably considered unlovable. Jesus hung out with people that most of you might not have hung out with. You know, the down and out. You know, and we all know that Jesus loves everyone because you sang about in children's church. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. But Jesus still loves you when you grow up. And sometimes I think we forget about that. That Jesus still loves us when we're not little children anymore. And some of you, like me, probably still act like a little child anyway. But, you know, one way that he shows forth his love to humanity is through us. Because Jesus dwells on the inside of us. You talk about it all the time. You accept him as your Lord and Savior. So really, we are his hands and feet. And the way that we can show wonders of his love is go out and love a lost and dying and hurting world. And that's one of the reasons during the Christmas season that we do have 2 million plus Christmas lights. I think they're like 2.5 right now out there. You know, just to show that Jesus is the light of the world. And, you know, just to bring happiness to people here during the Christmas season. You know, but Jesus also came as God's gift. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus didn't give us a philosophy. Jesus didn't give us a system. God didn't give us a philosophy. God didn't give us a system. God gave us his son. And when you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. You receive forgiveness. You receive a new beginning. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I believe that one reason that we give gifts as Christmas, you know, at Christmas time, is because God was the very first giver. Because God gave his expression of his love, then we give our loved ones, you know, a gift as expression of our love. You know, God was the first giver. God gave us his son. God, you know, he gave us grace. He gave us hope. And when we give, we reflect God's heart. We spread his joy and we show his love to people that we love. You know, it also says in Luke chapter 2 that joy to the world is for all people, not just for us Christians that go to church. You know, the angel said that the joy would be for all people. Even people who don't know Jesus, they're looking for joy. You know, not just the perfect people, not just the wealthy people, not just the strong people, but joy is for the grieving. Joy is for the lonely. Joy is for the hurting. There are people out there that need somebody to tell them that God loves them. You know, and when they're hurting, and that's our responsibility, to go out and tell the hurting world about Jesus Christ. You know, and many people, especially around the Tulsa metropolitan area, once were in church and once kind of knew Jesus, but for whatever reason, they kind of went away. You realize there's a lot of people that used to go to church a few years ago, but after the COVID situation happened, they kind of got out of the habit. And they're not going anymore. And you know, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but the Bible says to not forsake assembling ourselves together. And I think it's important to spread forth joy. And if you're not going to do it any time of the year, which we should do it all year, but Christmas season is a really good time to bring joy to people. You know, Jesus didn't come for those that have it all together. Jesus came for those who know they really need him. You know, there's a lot of people that really need Jesus. They might have heard his name. They might, you know, they might even be saved, but they don't really know Jesus. It's one thing to have a salvation ticket, to boarding pass to heaven, another thing to really know Jesus. You know, Jesus came for the broken, the lost, the searching, and the hurting. You know, joy to the world means joy to you, but it means joy to everybody else. And during this holiday season or any other time of the year, when you see someone that's not having a lot of joy, maybe you can do your best to show them some joy. You know, a lot of times when you see people are kind of having a tough time, I mean, you know, say something to make them smile. You know, it is You know, a smile is an awesome thing. And, you know, so many people walk around this world without joy, without peace. But it's really hard to have joy and peace if you don't know Jesus. You know, and sometimes we forget about a lost and dying and hurting world. We forget about the people who are going through a tough time. We forget about a lot of things when it comes to, you know, we want to have a great Christmas, but we forget about everybody else. Now, once again, I do want to thank the church, you know, that we've blessed a lot of people through the Toys for Tots program, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a blessing, you know, to people who are hurting. And, you know, we just heard about the youth, you know, did a great thing with bringing the stuffed animals and different things like that, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, lighten up somebody's world. That's why we light up this campus, is to light somebody's world up. That, you know, things might not all be hunky-dory in their life. You know, there's many people who walked through this campus and they're not doing the best in the world, but for a few minutes, they smile, they look at the Christmas lights. And you know, sometimes we wonder, well, are we doing any good? Are we really getting any church members out of it? Are we getting any students out of it? But we heard a testimony the other day from one of our first-year students who used to be a Muslim, who didn't know Jesus. And because of the Christmas lights, they started searching. You know, you never know. Because you know what? If only one person changes their life because of Christmas lights, it's well worth it. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's a lot of money, I will say that, and it causes a lot of traffic, which happens to not be great for us coming to church at nighttime. Or if you happen to stay at the office a little too long, the next thing you know, you parked, where you parked there was like hardly any cars, and then there's like 1,000 cars or whatever. And it's a lot of work for the people who work the different things at Christmas. But you know what? If we can just light up one person's world, if we can just change one person's heart, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. You know, like I said, many people, you know, thank me for the sacrifice. I mean, what kind of sacrifice? I go to Brazil, it's 90 degrees outside, okay? Not much of a sacrifice. I did fly all night long on the airplane 3 times, but I lived. It's not much of a sacrifice to go around the world to preach the gospel. It's a joy. To bring forth joy to the world. You know, in closing, you know, because Jesus came, I have joy. Because Jesus came, I have peace. Because Jesus came, I am loved. Because Jesus came, I am saved. And the best days are still ahead because Jesus came. And Jesus changes everything. Once again, in closing scripture, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given. That's Christmas, that's joy, that's hope, that's Jesus. So joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. First of all, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave us Jesus Christ to become our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And during this Christmas season, we thank you that Jesus not only came to save us, he came to give us peace. He came to give us joy and help us to be able to express his love and his joy and his peace to a lost and dying and hurting world. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm not having a lot of peace or joy or anything because I don't know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to lift your hand and we want to pray with you. We want to make sure you don't leave this place without meeting the one that brings joy to this world, without meeting the Prince of Peace, the Savior, Jesus Christ. If that's you, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I know most of you probably do know Jesus, but if you don't, I want to give you that opportunity to meet Jesus today. Or maybe some of you are like my grandfather always talked about. They know who Jesus is, but they've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Just because you come to church doesn't make you saved. You know, just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. So if you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, you can this morning. Just lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Anybody? Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I know Jesus. I've met Jesus, but you know, I kind of turned my back and I went away. And this morning I want to come back home. I want to rededicate my life publicly to him. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Amen. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, right now that you will send many people across their path to help them meet the one that brings joy to the world and peace on the earth. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. So can we just sing that song, Joy to the World?
And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart remain room. And heaven makes you see. And heaven makes you see.
From this day forward, that this song will not just be a Christmas tune that you sing every Christmas, but you'll experience the joy to the world, Jesus Christ, the one that brings peace on earth and goodwill toward men and wonders of his love. Amen. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we once again are glad to have you. The Connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you very quickly and give you a gift that we have for you. Amen. Don't forget, of course, first of all, we have service tonight at 6:30, but don't forget Wednesday night, very special candlelight carols and communion service on Christmas Eve. You know, we dismiss around here. The pastors are heading to the door to shake your hand. If you're not here on Wednesday night, I just want to say Merry Christmas. God bless you. We'll see you later.
And I got joy.